Russ Feldman from CannabisRadio.com. First off, thank you all for being the first panel I've attended in 10 years of drug law reform. It was all female. But
restorative justice.
Okay, we only have 5 minutes left. So for those of us up here who are going to respond, can we keep it short?
Yes. Yeah, so I want to answer a few of the questions around restorative justice and what happens when somebody punches me on the nose and all of those things. So I'm a policy person, right? I do policy work all day, every day. And so I'm very pragmatic. I'm also an abolitionist. I don't think the cops need to exist. I don't think prisons need to exist. And I think that we can take slow and measured steps towards that, right? Like Patrice said, like that, this shit's not going to happen tomorrow, right? And we can, you know, like we need, we need to take slow and pragmatic steps. And for me, doing policing reform work, that means what are the reforms that actually shrink police departments, right? What are reforms that shrink those budgets? Don't fucking get me started on body cameras. Yeah. Don't even get me started on how much money that is, how many corporations are doing the lobbying to sell that product to police departments, right? So I don't think we have to know right now what's gonna happen when somebody punches you in the nose to believe that this system is unjust and there needs to be an alternative and that we need to figure out as we go on. I'll keep it at that. I have so much more to say.
I just wanted to answer the question about the sex work, because I think that we're seeing all of the same mistakes that were made in the war on drugs. We're seeing now with how we're reacting to sex trafficking. At Reason, we have a wonderful author. Her name is Elizabeth Nolan Brown, and this is her beat. She just wrote a cover of our magazine. It was called How the War on Sex Trafficking is the New War on Drugs. Yep. And because we're keeping it short, I would encourage you all to read that article. It goes into the history of how we've enforced these laws, how we've gone after marginalized people, sex workers, and just criminalized their behavior, similarly to how we've enforced our drug laws. So I encourage you.
Patrice?
Yeah, the other thing is, there are communities that don't actually have police.
Yeah.
Like, communities that call police and the police don't show up. What we have to remember are the folks who are sort of like really wedded to that. It probably means your police show up. It probably means your police are functioning for you. But there are communities who have figured out, we don't call the police on each other. These are the ways that we interact, and this is the way we deal with harm. And they're not ignoring the harm that's causing the community, they're actually dealing with it. And I think people need to understand that and know that restorative justice isn't just some theory that people have written about. It's real life, and people are acting it out on a daily basis.
So to the comment that you made or the question that you raised about retribution and revenge, sometimes I bring my daughter to work with me, and she's 11 now, but when she was 8 years old, I had a project in my office about capital punishment, and she turned it into a cubby. And she rose up out of the cubby, and she was like, "Mommy, what's this chair?" So I said, "Well, when the government feels like somebody's done something wrong, they kill them." And my mom doesn't like that I'm so raw with her, but so, she said her response to this when she was 8 was, "How are they going to teach people to do the right thing when they're doing the wrong thing?" Are we out of time?
Yeah.
Oh, please end. Okay. Again, thank you all, and I want to say thank you to this dynamic.